Time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dejon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and this is another episode of Mitten Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket, a chance for us to talk about everything happening inside of the Mitten State when it comes to the sports world. This week, we have tons to dive into. Michigan and Michigan State off and rolling in the NCAA tournaments for their respective genders. So we'll touch on both the men's and women's side for both of those schools and how they're looking in their March Madness tournaments. Then big news with the Detroit Pistons, both good and bad, that we'll have to dive into after that. Of course, the Red Wings, who we have to touch on, who have found themselves outside of the playoff hunt now and are trying to crawl their way back in before we settle in with our picks at the end of the show. As you can imagine, I'm feeling great as a Michigan fan coming off of a huge opening game victory for the Michigan Wolverines. We'll touch into that in just a few moments. Lacrosse is off and well. My team is doing fantastic to start the year with a bunch of new guys. We're continuing to progress, and we're looking to win a couple games this year and just have some fun. And then, of course, all the other sports things that are going on in the world. Michigan is a great place to be a sports fan right now. And if you're not, then, well, I guess you're still living pretty well out there. It's time for us to get into everything that is going down in this upcoming week. Last week, the Michigan State Spartans, they did lose early in the Big Ten tournament. That was to UCLA, 88-84. Since then, they have played one game in the NCAA tournament. And for them, it went extremely, extremely well. That first game, they were able to take down North Dakota State by a score of 92-67. The Bison, who were 27-7 coming into the game, just didn't have enough for Michigan State. They were already down 20 at halftime, and that was where the real difference was made. They ended up losing this game by 25 points, and that was because they got outscored by another 5 points in the second half. But the second half output they had was much better than the first and showed that they deserved to be at this level. But when you spot a team 20 points by halftime, it's very, very hard to come back and have success. Damari Wheeler-Thomas had 16 points for the Bison, 5 for 11, 4 for 4 from the free throw line. And then Travion Carson, 7 rebounds, also had 6 assists and just 1 turnover in 34 minutes of play. They shot 44-24, 65 in their splits from the field, 12 turnovers, 23 rebounds. They did lead for 6% of this game. Their largest lead was only 3. Michigan State, on the other hand, led by Carson Cooper, a big 20-10 day from him. 20 points, 10 rebounds, 7-9 shooting, 6-for-6 from the free throw line, 11 assists from Jeremy Fears Jr., 4 turnovers in 32 minutes of play. The Spartans shot 59-50-89 in their splits from the field, 12 turnovers as well, and then also 35 rebounds, 92% is what they led in this game, and the largest lead was 28. So a phenomenal day from the Spartans, most importantly, Carson Cooper. I mean, Cooper was phenomenal here. Looks like he only missed 2 shots on the day. Like I said, 7-9, 6-for-6 from the free throw line. Also grabbed 10 boards. 20-10 at any moment in anyone's career is a fantastic way. But to do so in your opening game in the Big Ten tournament, in the national tournament, is huge. It sets a great tone for you and your teammates to have success moving forward. And if you were paying attention to some of the other games that happened yesterday that we'll dive into, Michigan State has to be feeling pretty decent about their chances of coming out of the East region, although it may be extremely stacked. They feel great about their chances and where they could go. Their next game is going to be a little bit tougher. You know, they're going to be taking on the Louisville Cardinal, who are 24-10. They're Louisville Cardinals, excuse me, who are 24-10. The Spartans, 26-7. This game will be at 2:45 p.m. later today on CBS. They're giving Louisville a 51% chance to win, just 49% for the Spartans. This is at KeyBank Center in Buffalo, New York. Louisville is led by Ryan Conwell, who has 18.7 points per game, shooting 40% from the field and 84% from the free throw line. Sonata Frew has 6.1 rebounds, and then Conwell also leads the team with 2.6 turnovers, 2.2 turnovers per game as well, just 30.8 minutes per game. Louisville does score more than Michigan State. They also give up 4 more points. They shoot about the same from the field, grab about the same amount of rebounds and assists per game. The Spartans have a slight lead in assists, blocks, but the Cardinals have a slight lead in steals. Cardinals are 4-1 in their last 5. Their loss was in the ACC tournament to Miami by score 5, 78-73. And then obviously the 4-point loss to UCLA in the Big Ten tournament for Michigan State, plus the 10-point loss to the Wolverines to end out the end of the regular season. So 2 losses for them in their last 5, but Michigan State has to be feeling great about themselves and their chances moving forward. And not going to talk a ton about this Louisville game, because we will pick that game later on in our picks. But the winner of this game will play the winner of the UCLA-UCF winner, who will take on the winner of UConn and Furman. So as you're listening to this, yesterday you got to know how those outcomes came out. The winner of those two winners will then play the winner of the Michigan State-Louisville game. That will be in the Sweet 16, which seems to be coming up fast. Basically, by the end of next week, we'll know who's going to be in the Elite Eight, Final Four, and then the championship game. But Michigan State has a great chance to get there. They're kind of hoping UConn gets knocked off. They saw some other tough games within the region yesterday as well, which we'll get to in just a second. Meanwhile, the Michigan Wolverines, they also got started in the Midwest Division yesterday. They took on Howard, a team that just won their first NCAA tournament game 2 days before in the play-in game against UMBC. They were able to come out with a tough emotional victory over UMBC and found themselves rewarded with playing one of the best teams in the country, which means it was a tough game for them. Michigan, though, didn't run away with this one until much later in the game. In fact, at halftime, this game was 50-46. Howard was more than hanging in there as they were giving Michigan everything they could handle. They were led by Cam Gillis, who had 21 points. He also had 5 assists, just 2 turnovers and 39 minutes of play. Shot 6 of 9 from the field, 4 for 6 from the free throw line. Cedric Taylor III had 6 rebounds. The Bison shot 43-48-71 in their splits, only had 8 turnovers, grabbed 23 rebounds, but did not lead at all in this game. Meanwhile, for Michigan, Merez Johnson Jr., definitely the player of the game. He also had a 20-10 day, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 8 for 8 from the field, 4 for 5 from the free throw line, and 10 rebounds on the day. He is the first player since early 2000 to have a 20-10 day with 100% shooting from the field. Now, he did miss the 1 free throw, but that doesn't count when you're 8 for 8 from the field. He had an amazing game. Elliot Cadeau, 9 assists, just 1 turnover in 26 minutes of play. He has to continue to play that well if Michigan wants to see success in the rest of this NCAA tournament. Michigan shoots 67-46-80 from the splits in the field. 10 turnovers in this game, which they'll have to limit. They grabbed 35 boards, led for 98% of the game. Their largest lead was 31. They ended up with a 21-point victory, 101-80, as they will move on after this scare that had them feeling quite tight. At one point, it was just a 2-point lead early in the second half for Michigan before they pulled away on one of the best runs of the season. Their next game is going down against St. Louis, who St. Louis just beat Georgia the night before. A quick preview, as we won't talk a ton about this game because we'll also be picking this game later on. But someone to be of note of is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which is also known as Robbie Avila. He leads their team with 12.9 points, 4.1 rebounds, only 1.8 turnovers per game, shooting 50.9% from the field. Yes, 51% from the field, 80% from the free throw line. And then he also gets help from Deion Brown, who grabs 5.5 rebounds per game. St. Louis has lost 2-1 to Dayton by 1 in the A-10 semifinals, and then a game against Joris Mason during the regular season. They're 3-2 in their last 5. Michigan has the lone loss to Purdue by 8 in the Big Ten tournament, but we'll turn back to all of that in a few moments. Touching up on a few games that happened yesterday as well, St. Louis got the best of Georgia, 102-77. Michigan and St. Louis looking to be a blockbuster game that's going to have a ton of offense. So whose defense is going to make more plays? Who's going to be able to take care of the ball? And how well would the three-point and free throw shooting be for both sides? That very well could determine how this game goes. And then what else happened yesterday was Nebraska took care of Troy with no problem, 76-47. VCU upsets North Carolina, 82-78. Another Big Ten team pops the 100 mark with Illinois taking care of Penn, 105-70. Absolutely no problems there. Texas A&M with another big upset, 63-50 over St. Mary's. Houston handles Idaho with zero problems. Vanderbilt over McNeese State, 78-68. And then you have some more action going on in the West as High Point with the upset over Wisconsin, 83-82 off of a late layup from a player that had not won or had not scored a two-point basket all season. Chase Johnston made 67 buckets going into his last shot. Zero of them were two-pointers. He made a layup with just a few seconds left in this game, his first two-point bucket of the year, and it was just enough to stun the Badgers and move on. Arkansas took care of Hawaii with zero problems, 97-78. Texas over BYU with the upset, 11-6, 79-71. Gonzaga handles Kennesaw State, but it was tight for them. They win 73-64. Louisville won 83-79 over South Florida. TCU sends Ohio State packing with a late layup late in that game as well, 66-64. So the 9 seed over the 8 seed there, going on to take on the number one team in the country, Duke, and it was almost not the case. Siena led for large parts of this game. Their largest lead was 16 in the second half. Duke storms back behind the work of Caden and Cameron Boozer, those two twins. Will this team back into it? They get help from a few others. They're able to squeeze out a 71-65 victory. So as I mentioned earlier, Michigan State kind of feeling good about being able to make it out of that bracket if Duke gets knocked out early. That is your men's NCAA tournament update. When we come back from the break, we'll be touching in our Detroit Pistons after we talk about our men's and women's Michigan and Michigan State teams in their tournaments as well. That's all when we come back from the break with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Yeah, you, it's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa. What happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just going to keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to talk about the women's side of the NCAA tournament. March Madness popping off over there as well. Michigan and Michigan State both making their way into the tournament. Michigan State is a 5 seed against Colorado State. They played their first game yesterday. Michigan State coming in 22-8. Colorado State coming in 27-7. They're giving Colorado State just a 7.3% chance to have won that game. 92.7 for Michigan State. Michigan State comes in just 2 of 3 in their last 5. Losses to Ohio State, Illinois, and Michigan. They have wins over Minnesota and Northwestern, including popping the century mark against Northwestern, 104-68. Colorado State, on the other hand, 5-0. 2 wins over Air Force, a win over San Jose State, Grand Canyon, and UNLV as well. They'll look to continue that success, even though they're 18.5-point underdogs in this opening game, which will be at the Lloyd Noble Center in Norman, Oklahoma. A true neutral site game for both of these teams. As you can imagine, Michigan State will most likely have came out successful on this. I will not know until later on, because I'm recording this earlier Friday during the day. But Michigan State has their work cut out with them with Colorado State. Their hands are more than full as they are facing a team that is on a win streak. When you're winning like that, granted it may be against conference opponents that are inferior talent to the Michigan State Spartans, it doesn't mean that you're not putting it together. It doesn't mean that you're not learning and you're not figuring out ways that make you perform at your best. That's what really other games and practices are all about, is finding out what works best for you. Don't focus so much on other teams, when if you are able to dial in what works for you, you can turn it into success. And that's something Colorado State has done over the last couple of weeks, as they've sharpened their skills and they're on that 5-game win streak at least, which might even be a little bit further than that, which really puts the onus on Michigan State to go out and perform the way that they should. Michigan, on the other hand, is a 2 seed in this same tournament. They are in a different bracket. Michigan's the 2 seed in Regional 3, while Michigan State is the 5 seed in Regional 4. Michigan will be taking on Holy Cross, and you will not be surprised at all to find out what the matchup predictor says. 99% for Michigan, a 1% for Holy Cross. Holy Cross is 41.5-point underdogs. They're expecting Michigan to win this game by 42 points or more. Obviously, they're led by Olivia Olsen and Mila Holloway. Michigan pouring in 84 points a game. They have 2 losses to Iowa in their last 5. They have an overtime victory over Ohio State, and then victories over Maryland and Oregon in that time span. Holy Cross, they're 5-0. And I just said a lot about being 5-0, being on a win streak, and how that can help you really find what works for you and continue to implement that to have success. Holy Cross went over Loyola Maryland, Boston U, Colgate, Army, and Lehigh on their way to winning their conference and finding their spot in the March Madness Women's Tournament. They are, of course, awarded with playing one of the best teams in the country, a team that is 25-6 on the year. A 2 seed, one of the top 8 teams in the country. This game is a literal home game for the Wolverines. And I say literal because, no, they're not just the home team. No, they're not playing close to Ann Arbor. No, they're not playing in the state of Michigan. They're doing all of those things because they're playing at the Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor. This is a literal home game for Michigan, who is 14-1 when they play games at the Chrysler Center. You cannot tell me that they're not going to go out and do what they've done all season long, which was have success. There was only two teams that bested them in conference play. It was Iowa and UCLA. Everyone else had serious problems with Michigan, and that's why you find them sitting on the 2 lines, seeing them about to have success, hopefully, in the Big Ten tournament. Y'all know what happened before I do, but I did want to give you that quick rundown. If Michigan wins, they will take on NC State, or the winner of NC State and Tennessee. Meanwhile, if Michigan State wins, They will take on the winner of Oklahoma and Idaho. So both of those teams will look to have some success over the next couple of days to get themselves into a favorable spot in the Sweet 16 and looking to move forward. Bouncing over to our Detroit Pistons, where we will start with the saddest news that we could have concerning the Detroit Pistons. Star, MVP candidate, front runner at one point, and the big reason why this team is having a lot of success, their leader, Cade Cunningham, has been diagnosed with a collapsed lung and is expected to miss an extended period of time. We do not know how long that break will be, guessing and estimating based upon some people who have had a similar injury within the NBA. It's going to be somewhere between 3 to 6, if not 8 to 12 weeks. It's going to be a long recovery for Cade Cunningham. They want to make sure that he is okay, able to breathe, and is able to be at his best when he steps out for the Pistons. They say it will only have him sidelined for 2 weeks, but we'll find out in just a moment if that is going to be true or not. Cade Cunningham still leads his team at 24.5 points per game with 9.9 assists, just 3.7 turnovers, shooting 46.1% from the field in 34.4 minutes per game. Jalen Duren, averaging 19.1 points per game, 10.6 rebounds, shooting 64.1% from the field in 27.7 minutes of play. Asar Thompson, 1.9 steals, 1.4 turnovers in 25.6 minutes of play. Isaiah Stewart, 1.6 blocks, 0.3 steals, 5.1 rebounds. The team as a whole averages 117.4 points per game, 46 rebounds, and 27.1 assists per game. Although there was some bad news coming out of the last week, there is some good news to touch on. When you look at how the last week has gone for the Pistons, they started off winning that game last week against Memphis by 16, 126-110. Then things got a little weird Sunday night. They were on the road against Toronto. They dropped that game 119-108, even though Cade Cunningham went for 33-9. Then the next game is where things got difficult. That's where Cade Cunningham went out with the injury. That was Tuesday against the Wizards. Pistons still win this game by 13, 130-117. Jalen Duren, 36-12, and you get 7 assists poured in from Danis Jenkins. Then you turn around Thursday night, you have to play the Wizards again on the road, and you take care of business again, 117-95, just shy of a 20-point victory. Duren does what Duren does, 24-11. LeVert pours you in 6 assists as the leaders of the game. 50-19 is where the Pistons now sit. That most recent game against the Wizards gives the Pistons a 3-1 series win over the Wizards in the regular season. They shot 45, 30, 77 from the field, 10 turnovers, 56 rebounds. Led for 98% of the game. Their largest lead was 25. Meanwhile, for the Wizards, they shot 44, 39, and 67 in their splits, 19 turnovers, and only grabbed 35 rebounds per game. Pistons go into Capital One Arena, win 2 in a row to take a commanding 3-1 series victory in the regular season. They'll look to continue their winning ways over the next couple of weeks. As we look at where they are in the standings across the NBA, at 50-19, they are atop of the Eastern Conference. They're 4 games above the Celtics, who are 46-23. The Knicks are 45-25, 5.5 games back. 7.5 games back are the Cleveland Cavaliers, 43-27. The Raptors, 39-29, at 10.5 games back. Atlanta Hawks, 38-31, 12 games back to round out the top 6. The Magic, 38-31, also 12 games back. The Hawks hold the tiebreaker over them. Both sitting at 38-32, 12.5 games behind the Pistons are the Heat and 76ers. And then 36-34, cleaning things up, 14.5 games back are the Charlotte Hornets. Those are your 7 through 10 teams who will be playing in the play-in if things started right now. The Pistons are still third in the NBA behind the Thunder and Spurs. Thunder are 55-15. 4.5 games back are the Pistons. Spurs are 52-18, and the Pistons are only 1.5 back from them. Both the Thunder and Spurs have already clinched a playoff berth. The Pistons, I would assume, will be one of the next teams to do so if they're able to continue winning. Over the next week, they have Golden State coming to town on Friday, who has continued to struggle without Stephen Curry. Then the Lakers are coming into town, and the Lakers are starting to surge as they look to make their playoff push out in the West. That game for Golden State was last night, so you already know how that turned out. The Los Angeles Lakers game is on Monday, the 23rd, 7 p.m. And then Wednesday, the 25th, 7 p.m. on ESPN, you got the Hawks coming to town. Another great chance for the Pistons to grab a victory and look to continue their winning ways. Before Thursday, taking on the New Orleans Pelicans, 7 p.m. And then Saturday, March 28th, against Minnesota, 5:30 p.m. on the road on ABC as well. So a couple big games coming up. You got Los Angeles and Minnesota, who are both playoff teams. And then Golden State, Atlanta, New Orleans, three teams who are struggling that you should be able to boost and grab yourself a couple victories. So maybe a three-victory weekend slash week for the Pistons, which would put them right back where they want to be and will maybe even clinch them a playoff spot, something we'll have to keep an eye on as they do head into a little bit of a tougher stretch coming out of that week. You have Oklahoma, Toronto, Minnesota, Philly, Orlando, Milwaukee, Charlotte, and Indiana to close out the season over the next couple of weeks. So we'll obviously keep an eye on how well they're able to play without Cade Cunningham, when Cade Cunningham is supposed to be back, if he'll be able to play enough games to earn himself some season awards, and if the Pistons can clinch a playoff spot and prepare to maybe make a run. But we'll be back touching on their roommates in Little Caesars Arena, the Red Wings, after the break here on 95.3 The Tip.
Put your phone on D&D. That means that do not disturb when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safe, please, so always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D. That means that do not disturb when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safe, please, so always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
A few years ago, Steve Faircow's lungs were failing.
I don't think I had more than a couple weeks to live.
That's when Steve received a lung transplant made possible by an organ donor. Now Steve can do things he never imagined, like climbing 94 floors to the top of a skyscraper.
I never knew that breathing could feel this good. It's an incredible gift.
What could you make possible as an organ, eye, and tissue donor? Leave behind the gift of life. Go to organdonor.gov. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Welcome back into Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to lay down the ice inside of Little Caesars Arena and talk about another team that calls that beautiful arena and building home, the Detroit Red Wings, who have had some problems in the last couple of weeks that have really dropped them down the rankings. That's where we'll start first. Looking at their standings, they're now third in the Atlantic Division. They're tied with the Canadiens and Boston Bruins, who both hold the tiebreaker over them. The Bruins are neck and neck with the Red Wings, 38-23-8 for both of them. The Canadiens, 37-21-10, 84 points apiece for each. The Sabres are at top of the Atlantic, 43-20-6 for 92 points. The Lightning, 42-21-4 for 88 points. Ottawa Senators, 35-24-9 for 79 points. Florida Panthers, 34-31-3 for 71 points. And the Maple Leafs, 29-28-12. For 70 points. The Red Wings have fallen behind in the Eastern Conference. They're now sitting in seventh place behind the Hurricanes, who are at the top, tied at the top with the Sabres at 92 points. Hurricanes at 43-19-6. Then the Sabres and Lightning before the Penguins, who are 34-18-16 for 84 points. Canadiens, Bruins, and then the Red Wings. So technically, the Red Wings are tied for fourth in the entire Eastern Conference, but the tiebreakers are absolutely killing them. They do hold on to a wild card spot at the moment. Boston Bruins, 38-23-8, along with the Red Wings. They both hold a one-point lead over the Islanders, who are 39-25-5 for 83 points. And then a five-point lead on the Senators, who have 79 points. And a 6-point lead on the Flyers, who have 78 points. So not a ton of wiggle room for the Red Wings and the Bruins if they want to hold on to those wild card spots as it continues to get tighter in the Eastern Conference. Everybody gripping their sticks and looking for ways that they can grab a few wins and make it into the playoffs. The leaders for the squad, Alex DeBrincat, 34 goals on 238 shots, 12 of them on the power play. Lucas Raymond has 46 assists. He has a plus minus of 13. 18 of those assists come on the power play. Alex DeBrincat leads the team in points with 72. 34 goals, and he's got 38 assists to add to him. Meanwhile, John Gibson continues to be a stalwart between the pipes. He's got a goal against average of 2.53, save percentage of 0.907. He has seen 1,199 shots. He's saved 1,088 of them, which means he's only given up 111 goals. He has 26 wins on the year. The team scores 2.91 points or goals per game. They also give up 2.91 goals per game, which is good for 10th in the league. They have a power play that strikes 21.7% of the time, which is good for 14th in the league. And their penalty kill is effective 78.3% of the time, good for 20th in the league. Red Wings, like I said, have had some struggles over the last couple of weeks, a couple of losing streaks mixed in there, playing some tough playoff-level teams, and that's sort of what happens when you play that type of competition. But they have bounced back, and they were able to pick up a huge victory against the Calgary Flames. They took down the Flames 5-2, winning big. Patrick Kane grabs two goals. Alex DeBrincat had three assists. And then Coronado had a goal and assist for Calgary. Calgary gets on the board first. Morgan Frost cashing in early in the first period. Matvei Gritton and Matt Coronado pick up assists. Patrick Kane strikes first just 1:03 into the second period for the Red Wings. The assist comes from Alex DeBrincat. Then Emmett Finney gave the Red Wings their lead, his 12th of the year. Got an assist from Albert Johansson and Lucas Raymond, 5:06 into the second period. Then Patrick Kane, 6:37 into the second period, strikes again with his second goal of the day. Another assist to Alex DeBrincat, and JT Compher gets in on the action as well. Red Wings up 3-1 before just under a minute later, Matt Coronado goes unassisted for Calgary, gets them within one before Moritz Seider pushes it back out on the power play. Just 11:45 into the second quarter, Alex DeBrincat and JT Compher pick up more assists. And then Dominic Schein picks up an empty netter late in the third period, pushing it out to a three-goal lead and a victory for the Red Wings, who sweep the Calgary Flames in their regular season series 4-3 on their first game back on December 10th. And they follow through and cash in on this one 5-2. So they win both of those games and have a sweep over Calgary. Then a much-needed victory came against the Montreal Canadiens, who are ahead of them in the division. Red Wings are 3-1. Won this game 3-1. DeBrincat had a goal and two assists. Compher had a goal. And then Juraj Slafkovský had a goal for the Canadiens. Slavoski's goal was the first. It was on the power play from Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki. That was well into the second period. 17:45 was the first goal in this game. Both teams went scoreless until then. Then JT Compher pops back, gets an assist from Kane and DeBrincat on his 10th goal of the year, just 2:14 into the third period. Here comes Alex DeBrincat later on in the period, 16:35 in, unassisted, to push the lead out and give the Red Wings their first lead of the game. And then Andrew Kopp pushes it to a two-goal lead with the empty netter, assist from Alex DeBrincat, 19:43 into the third period. Canadians won the first game of this series 5-1 back on October 9th. Then January 10th, the Red Wings smashed them 4-0. And then here come the Red Wings again, this most recent game, winning 3-1. They win the season series 2-1 over the Canadiens, a win that they needed over their Atlantic Division rival. Hopefully they can sneak up and steal a playoff spot from them as they hold on to that last guaranteed playoff spot in the Atlantic Division. Red Wings are just on the outside of that, and a win like this could be huge in helping them get there. Their next game is later today and is a big game as well. They're taking on the Boston Bruins, who are also ahead of them in the Atlantic Division race. Bruins won the first matchup 3-2. That was back on November 29th. It was final by shootout. And then the Red Wings popped back 5-4 to take down the Bruins on December 2nd. And then on January 13th, the Bruins popped back 3-0. So Bruins currently hold a 2-1 series lead. If the Red Wings want to, one, grab a playoff spot, and two, not be hindered by losing the tiebreaker to Boston, you got to win this game, tie this up, and let the tiebreaker be elsewhere. Right now, Detroit is 125 favorites on the money line. A goal and a half is the spread. They're 20-11-3 at home. Bruins are 12-14-7. So the opportunity is there for them at Little Caesars Arena to tie up the series. Then they'll play Ottawa at home on Tuesday, 7 p.m. And then next Friday, they have Buffalo on the road, 7 p.m. before going on a little bit of a gauntlet as well. So, I mean, the work is cut out for the Red Wings. It's right in front of them. I think the most important thing is to focus on the game that is in front of you. The most important game in front of them at the moment is Boston. They have to go out and beat the Bruins to close in that gap and make sure things are all good for them, having success moving forward and wanting to make that playoff picture a little more clear for themselves. But you're also going to need some help other places. You want Montreal to continue losing. You want Boston to continue losing. And you just want to play your best hockey. I think that's most important for them, is one game at a time, playing your best hockey, and hopefully you get some help around the corner from some others. But with that being said, we'll be back with more Red Wings talk next week. We're about to get into our picks after the break here on Mid Madness on 95.3 The Tick. Welcome to Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to get into one of my favorite parts of the show. It's all about the picks. The picks are obviously some of the most fun that we get to do. We get to find out how well we know ball and see how much we're paying attention, if we have good research, and if we just got the vibes to pick the right things. And as always, y'all can play along with our picks every single week using the 95.3 The Ticket chat feature in our app. All you have to do is pay attention to the picks. Make sure that you're listening in on what games we are picking from that week. And then you can listen to me run through my deliberation, research, and all the other knowledge I think I have about ball. Make my presumptions and assumptions about how things will go. Make the predictions based upon the knowledge that I have in my pocket. And then you get to do the same. But the only thing is, you get to add what I know to what you know. You can take your knowledge, your own research and deliberation, add it to that, and then select your picks for the six games of the week. Once you have those picks picked out, head on over to the 95.3 The Ticket app, and then you'll head on over to that chat feature. Run us down those picks. You can even tell us why you made those picks if you'd like. And then we'll see if you know ball any better than I do. Oh, don't forget the key reminder. Jacob, he went 0-2-1. He lost twice, tied once, because I know ball over here. He didn't seem to know ball as well as I do. And the question is, do you know ball better than Jacob? And if you do, do you know ball better than me? That is the answer that you're trying to find out. So once again, hit that chat feature in the 95.3, The Ticket app. Submit those picks and see if you know ball better than I do. Speaking of knowing ball, and speaking of me, I think I did pretty well last week. I went 4-2 last week, picking up some huge victories as the Lakers took down the Nuggets, the Magic took down the Heat, UMBC over Vermont, Michigan over Penn State in hockey. But then Michigan State drops to Ohio State, and WMU drops to Denver. So I pick up two losses there. That bumps me up to 17-13 in this rendition of picks. And we have another 6 games loaded up, all in, yes, you guessed it, March Madness fashion. We have 6 March Madness games loaded up for us to pick through, and let me tell you, these are not easy because we know that absolutely anything can happen in March at any moment, and we've seen some of that already this week. The St. Louis Billikens are 29-5. They find themselves as a 9 seed in the NCAA tournament this year. They're taking on the Michigan Wolverines, who are 32-3, one of the 1 seeds in this year's tournament. This game will be almost as soon as we're done talking here, 12:10 p.m. on CBS. 16.9% chance for St. Louis, 83.1% chance for Michigan. As we talked about earlier, the Billikens are led by Robbie Avila, also known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then you also got Deion Brown. They're giving Michigan a 12.5-point spread. Big favorites for the boys in blue. They're 900 favorites on the money line, negative 900 favorites on the money line, plus 600 for the Billikens. 161.5 sits on the over-under, which that might be the thing to smash. Both these teams topped the century mark yesterday, absolutely blew their totals out of the water and shot very well from the field. Could see something very similar happening again in this matchup. So maybe you want to take a look at that total so that you can see just how effective these teams are in the offensive side of things. But what's pointing out to me, a 1-point loss to Dayton in the A-10 semifinal, which is one of the best games I have seen all year. Dayton came to play. Not that St. Louis didn't, but sometimes when you want something just a little bit more than the other team, then, well, they come out victorious. Also dropped the game 86-57, so almost a 29-point loss, almost 30-point loss to George Mason. That is always going to be on the side of caution for me. But a big victory over Georgia, 102-77, tells me this might be closer than some Michigan fans would like to admit, but I won't be one of them. I think Michigan wins a game that maybe St. Louis covers, and that 12.5 isn't so safe for Michigan. That's going to get us over into another team that's in another bracket but plays and lives in the same state as Michigan. The Michigan State Spartans, they're a 3 seed at 26-7. They're taking on the 6 seed, Louisville Cardinals, who are 24-10. This game will be later today, 2:45 p.m., also on CBS. Both these teams are playing in Buffalo at the KeyBank Center in Buffalo, New York. The Spartans come in as 4.5-point favorites. They're negative 192 on the money line, but plus 160 for the Cardinals, 151.5 on the over-under. Michigan State has a 49% chance, according to the ESPN matchup predictor, 51% chance from Louisville. We talked a little bit about this game earlier, and I think it comes down to a couple of things. Can Jeremy Fears have success? Will he be able to score the ball and go toe-to-toe with Ryan Conwell? Both in the assist category, which he does far better in, but the scoring category as well. What type of day will Jackson Kohler and Carson Cooper have? Are they going to have great games as their big man down low? Can Cam Ward step up? And then most importantly, three-point shooting from Nick Scott and Kurtang. If they're able to knock down some threes at timely moments, Michigan State can have a lot of success. That's actually what I'm banking on, although Louisville has every bit of athleticism, size, skill, and IQ to match the Spartans and to make this an extremely tough game. I think the Spartans lean on what always makes them so good at this time of year, is this is when they begin to play their best basketball. This is when they have a lot of success, and this is what makes Tom Izzo so good. I'm going to pick the Michigan State Spartans over the Louisville Cardinals. Our next game pits the SEC against the Big Ten. The Vanderbilt Commodores, 27-8 on the year, are a 5 seed in the tournament. Nebraska Cornhuskers, a 4 seed at 27-6. This game later today, 8:45 p.m. on TNT. Vanderbilt has a 53.2% chance to win, 46.8%. For Nebraska, this game is at the Paycom Center in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So a little bit closer for Nebraska than it is for Vanderbilt, but I'm sure both teams will travel well. Vanderbilt comes in as 2.5-point favorites, negative 135 on the money line, plus 114 for Nebraska, 146.5 on the over-under. Vanderbilt led by Tyler Tanner, who has 19.3 points per game, just 5.1 assists, but only turns it over 1.9 times, shoots 48.8% from the field, 86.1% from the free throw line, in 33.4 minutes of play. They also got Devin McLaughlin, who grabs 6.7 rebounds per game. The defense here is what I think will be the difference, although Nebraska has been known for their defense this year and has caused many problems for a lot of teams across the country on the defensive end. Having a point guard like Tyler Tanner that runs your offense and has composure but can also create a bucket for himself at any time poses huge threats for a guy like Sam Hoiberg on the opposite side, who will most likely be tasked with defending him. I think Vanderbilt just really has too much skill all around the floor and will be slightly better than the Cornhuskers and will come out victorious here. That's going to get us into a matchup between the VCU Rams, who are 28-7, against the Fighting Illini of Illinois, who are 25-8. VCU has a 17.6% chance, 82.4% chance for Illinois. Illinois comes in as 11.5-point favorites, -600 on the money line, +440 for the VCU Rams. 151.5 on the over under this game at Bond Secure's Wellness Center, or Wellness Arena, in Greenville, South Carolina. So a little bit closer for Virginia Commonwealth rather than the Illini. Keaton Wagler and David Markovich will do everything they can to get the Illini back into the Sweet 16. Meanwhile, Terrence Hill Jr. has 14.9 points, 2.9 assists, 1.1 turnovers per game, shooting 46.7% from the field, 84.4% from the free throw line, and 24.7 minutes of play to lead the Rams. Also has Lazar Jovic giving him 5.4 rebounds per game. VCU 5-0, including a double overtime victory over UNC after they won the A-10 championship over Dayton by 8. Illinois, on the other hand, had that 3-point loss to Wisconsin in overtime in the Big Ten tournament. They also lost to Michigan by 14 back in the regular season, took care of Maryland and Oregon with no problems, and then dominated Penn in their first game of the tournament. I don't think this one's even close. The fact that Illinois went out and handled Penn by 35, 105-70, VCU, an 11 seed that had some trouble with UNC. I don't think UNC is as good as Illinois. I don't think UNC will pose the same threats that Illinois will, and I think that gives them an advantage here. Give me Illinois to take down the VCU Rams. Next game is a lot tougher. Texas Longhorns, 20-14, an 11 seed, taking on the 3 seed Gonzaga Bulldogs, 31-3. This game, 7:10 p.m. later today, True TV, 25.2% chance for Texas, 74.8% chance for Gonzaga. Gonzaga, 6.5-point favorites, -245 on the money line, but +200 for those Longhorns, 146.5 on the over-under. Longhorns are led by Dalen Swain, 17.6 points, 7.5 rebounds, 3.8 assists. Meanwhile, Graham Ike, 19.7 points, 8.2 rebounds. And then Mario Saint-Supery has 3.8 assists. Close games for both these teams yesterday. Texas takes down BYU by 8. And then a 9-point victory for Gonzaga over Kennesaw State. This one's going to be close. Texas feeling a little bit better after beating North Carolina State and BYU, but they were a play-in team for a reason. And when you run into a team like Gonzaga, you have to be on your P's and Q's. I'm not sure that Texas has the size to battle with Graham Ike and the rest of the front court for Gonzaga. So that's going to have me lean toward the Zags. I'm going to take the Bulldogs to take down the Longhorns. Our last game of the week, the High Point Panthers, 31-4, 12 seed, getting the upset yesterday over Wisconsin, looks to get another over the Arkansas Razorbacks, who are a 4 seed, 27-8. This game, 9:45 p.m. later today on True TV. The Arkansas Razorbacks, 11.5-point favorites, -700 on the money line, +500 for the Panthers, 168.5 on the over-under. Panthers led by Terry Anderson, 16 points per game. Cameron Fletcher, 7.1 rebounds. Rob Martin, 3.9 assists. Darius Acuff Jr., 23 points per game, 6.6 assists. And then Trayvon Brazil, 7.4 rebounds. When you look at Arkansas's resume compared to High Point's, I want to give the advantage to High Point, but I can't. Arkansas looks way too good at this moment of the year. I'm taking Arkansas, which gives me Michigan, Michigan State, Vandy, Illinois, Gonzaga, and Arkansas. Let's see if there are more brackets that get busted over the weekend. Enjoy a fantastic weekend of sports. We'll be back next week with more Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app. Sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.